Hey marketers, if you want to get the latest news, trends, and insights in marketing, advertising, and tech, check out the Adweek Podcast Network. Learn from leading voices across media and marketing with original shows like Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, Marketing Vanguard, and Tech Magic with Kathy Hackle. Start listening now by searching Adweek wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You're listening to Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, a show where we discuss trends, pop culture, the devil's lettuce, because at the end of the day, everything is an ad. I am here once again reunited with my lovely co-host, Rebecca Stewart, Europe brand editor. Bex, how are you?
I'm good. I'm really, really excited about today's episode. I absolutely love the campaign we're going to talk about.
Yes, me too. And you know what I love too is that it's such a good fit for Halloween.
100%.
And I think it was created, with that intention. So this is like our spooky episode, but informative and talking about devil's lettuce. So without further ado, let's bring on our guests. So we are joined by our own Terry Stanley, LA-based senior editor at Adweek, where she specializes in consumer trends and cannabis and plant-based food products, aka she is our cannabis queen. She does an exceptional job with the coverage. Terry, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
Always. And you are here today, too, to give your expertise in this industry, because we have Courtney Zalewski, Chief Brand and Marketing Officer at Embark. Courtney, welcome.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, so we're excited to have you. You know, we were talking a little bit about this before we officially started recording, but basically we're here to talk about the devil's lettuce. And it is a really fun campaign that you did from Embark. Can you just, I mean, by the time this episode comes out, Terry's exceptional write-up on the campaign is also out, so I encourage readers to check it out. But can you give us like a little bit of a lowdown on the campaign?
Yeah, so Embark, kind of taking a step back, Embark is a family of neighborhood shops. We have currently 9 locations in California, and our mission really is, it's about celebrating cannabis for the curious, expert, and everyone in between. And the Devil's Lettuce campaign was born out of our love for cannabis and really a rallying cry for our internal team and also industry folks, people that understand that reefer madness and the myths and misconceptions around the plant still exist. And so this campaign isn't necessarily meant to change the mind of someone that is skeptical or fearful of cannabis. It's meant to make those that understand what this is smile, right? And it's done in a cheeky and playful way. We really wanted to lean into old Hollywood horror movies and nostalgia and propaganda and, you know, all of those things that kind of make you feel a little unsettled and just feel something.
I mean, it's such a funny, interesting, like playful campaign, you know, as you said. And like, I didn't know anything about the kind of reefer madness until I read Terry's piece. Can you talk a little bit about that and the kind of inspiration for it? And I also found it funny that some people over on X thought this was a real ad. So the kind of focus on propaganda and like those old Hollywood tropes clearly worked.
I mean, I love that. I can't wait to read that article. But yeah, I mean, Reefer Madness, you know, the actual film itself, it epitomized, you know, the hysteria and misinformation around cannabis. If you look at that footage, it's so over the top. It feels like it's just a joke. You know, and it was born out of a culture of fear, and it painted cannabis consumers as crazed and dangerous and devilish, right? And now, today, I think, you know, in the industry and people that are familiar with that term devil's lettuce, we embrace it and we're trying to reclaim it. And, you know, what better way to do that than through Friday the 13th launch, you know, October, spooky season. It kind of all just fits and works really well together. But, you know, the fears, I think, from Reefer Madness, when that film came out in the 30s, if you look back, there's just this history of, by design, where these fears came from, and they just were perpetuated from decade to decade.
Yeah, I love that. Before we jump into more of the campaign details, Terry, I'd love to kind of pick your brain here on the history that Courtney just touched on, just like about the cannabis space now and just kind of seeing these campaigns. You do an excellent job of covering them. So kind of like where the cannabis space lands now and your thoughts on this campaign as well.
Thank you for that, Luz. You're always such a great supporter of this space and my work in this particular, on this particular beat, that it's obviously it's near and dear to my heart, but thank you. And I believe that there are a number of brands who are really good at tackling those myths and busting stereotypes. They really kind of make it their business. And obviously Embark is, if you look at the website that they dedicated and they created this original content, they have taken sort of a lot of PSAs from the past and clips and videos and all this. Especially when you look at them all together, you can sort of scroll down that timeline that they did in their site and then look at all these pieces of media that have been created. And you understand where the stigma comes from, because there's years and years, as Courtney was just saying, years and years worth of propaganda on one side of things. So even when we look at, say, recently, you know, this is your brain on drugs, or some of the very, very famous taglines that have come out of media and advertising, we can see why people feel the way some people feel the way they do about cannabis. They lack the education that is now coming, that now the industry has to do. It has to step up and say, I know you were told that to just say no, and that drugs are bad, and that weed is a hard drug. It's Schedule I. It's in the Controlled Substances Act. But it's actually a plant, and it's plant medicine.
This is such an interesting market to me, because in the UK, you know, this is still completely illegal. And, you know, there is campaigns to make cannabis legal, or legalize cannabis, sorry, in certain parts of the UK, but yeah, I don't know if it's getting as much momentum as it's had in the US.
So, you know, Courtney, as Terry, you mentioned, Embark went really big on this campaign. Like, the sheer number of channels that ran across are really impressive. There's, you know, a landing page, a playlist, there's packaging, there's merchandise. In an industry where marketing and ad and creative teams are kind of constantly pushed to justify their spend, how did you get buy-in here right from the top of the business?
It was an easy sell. I mean, the entire team, our leadership team, is incredibly passionate about this story and making sure that people hear this. And I think that, you know, at the end of the day, our team is incredibly small. When I was talking to Terry, I was nervous about admitting how small our team is. So in many ways, this was, you know, a passion project, I would say, because we had so many other priorities that we're juggling. But for our team and company, one of the things that I'm most passionate about is making sure that we're telling stories, that we're not just selling, that we're not, you know, just, I think our industry in particular has gotten into the habit of just spamming deals after deals. And this was an opportunity for us to do something that was immersive, that was very on brand for us and that was holistic, right? From the trailer to the product, to the packaging, to our pricing strategy, to the merchandise, to the timeline, you know? So at the end of the day, it was a big lift, but we really didn't spend that much money. We're very scrappy. We're a very scrappy team. And I know that word's thrown around a lot, but I mean it.
Yeah. We're scrappy here too. And listen, we're proud about it. So, yes. I mean, look at what your team accomplished.
Well, that's actually, Terry made me kind of rethink the way that I reevaluate the way that I've been thinking about it. And I think that I should be a little bit more proud about that, right? Because we're cannabis advertising and marketing is already so challenging. We have the limits and, you know, constraints and regulations that we have to face in addition to budgets. You know, we don't get to advertise on traditional platforms. We don't get to reach consumers the way that, you know, really any other industry can. We can't advertise on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. We can't talk about cannabis. We can't use the word. We will get banned, right? So even if you look at the website, we had to scrub all instances of cannabis. Even the packaging, I had to blur it out because AI bots now can go and scan. And if they detect that, there's a chance that, you know, Google will push you down in search results and you just pay, there's negative consequences to that. So this was a way to tell a story that was about cannabis, but hope, you know, in a little bit more cheeky way.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, sorry. No, I was just going to say, it sounds like such a creative challenge, but your team have really risen to the occasion on this one for sure.
Hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hatch because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing. They handle everything from brainstorming to polishing your content so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Yeah. And Courtney, I was going to say something you said before about you guys have to be so cautious and it's like such an oversaturated space now in terms of attention. And it reminds me of this line that somebody used in a voice piece. We had to remove it because it didn't, you know, but it was still really funny and it stuck with me. But, you know, one can even compare like the advertising industry right now to like that the donkey in Shrek where he's like pick me and like in your face, you know, and like, and this annoys consumers even more. So I feel like in the cannabis space especially, this speaks volumes about the effectiveness of a campaign like this where you don't go through the traditional channels, you can't, some of the traditional channels, and so, but you still manage to garner this kind of response. So, you know, in terms of response, you had lines out the door. You had, according to Terry's article, there were already lines before your locations opened up. You sold out in 48 hours. There is editorial coverage. Now you're on a podcast to talk about it. Did you anticipate this kind of response to this?
None. No. I mean, we didn't truly. What we wanted to do, you know, kind of thinking about who our customer is, that the core consumer at the end of the day is our team. And I don't know if that is true for every single industry, but it certainly is with cannabis retail. The people that are in the shop that are selling cannabis, they are so enthusiastic, so passionate about sharing their knowledge with our community, that the goal here really was, you know, we involved every single team member, every shop as early as possible, right? And so getting their buy-in and making them feel a part of this process, showing them sneak peeks of the packaging, showing them sneak peeks of the posters, right? Having them review the website before it was released and getting their feedback on it got them excited about what was to come, then giving them the merchandise, right? So that they were able to wear it and get the customers excited. So, you know, I think that for me was a really big lesson in, you know, brand at the end of the day and marketing is obviously, it's not just external, it's internal. And that was, I think, the biggest takeaway is that getting the team behind it is really number one, because if they're bought in, by nature, I think the customers are going to, and that's what happened, right? There were the lines, we sold out, we're still having people, we get a new shipment in on Thursday or Friday, but you know, it's the excitement is still there. And I think we learned, it was an experiment and we learned a lot from it.
It's that kind of punching above their weight class campaigns. I love those. Those are the kinds I really seek out in cannabis. It may be somewhat easier. They still have the same restrictions, but it might be a little bit easier for, say, a multi-state operator to come out with a lovely piece of creative because they have the resources. And I think it's more interesting to look at smaller teams who don't have that kind of necessarily financial backing or manpower, but still come up with something that is so inventive. It's one of my favorite kinds of things to look for. And in this case, it just fires on so many cylinders to me. And, yeah, you know, to use Reefer Madness and some of those old, like very, you know, Razzie worthy kind of pieces of content to base something on, and the artwork that came from it with that very classic kind of 50s pulp sort of, that is my absolute love language.
You know, what's really, really funny about all of this is that there was a point where I had to ask a few different people, I wasn't going to release this. I was so nervous about it. I was nervous about the reaction and people misinterpreting it, you know, just given how the internet and things work in 2023. And I was really nervous. And it was our marketing director, Nick, that's like, stop it. Stop overthinking this. We're putting it out. It's awesome. And so back to your point, you know, about the reaction, it really is a pleasant surprise. And I think the team, it's given us a, you know, it really has given us some more momentum and our already, I think, great growth that we're experiencing. So I'm pumped and excited and proud of the team for, you know, everyone on the retail side too, for putting all that they did into this.
Yeah, sometimes like overthinking can kind of be an enemy of creativity, I guess.
Like, I do it well. I do it. Yeah. I mean, I do it really, really
don't
well.
Don't we all?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can obsess over, you know, I do, this isn't fair. I know when to obsess over the right things, but sometimes, man, I can look at one pixel and I'm like, it just drives me crazy and no one else will notice it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And like one of the things that kind of interested me, Terry, before we hopped on the call, you know, you mentioned that campaigns like this are the exception in the cannabis industry at the moment. Like, of course, you have the best beer ad week. Everyone knows it. And you find the kind of best weed campaigns, spotlight them for us. But you said that creativity in the space like isn't maybe where it should be at. Why do you think that is?
I think that the industry wants to be taken seriously. It needs to be taken seriously. We look at the state by state march. So the momentum is there, but I think in order to feel legitimate, sometimes the approach from brands can be a little bit stodgy. Or it's the complete opposite end where it's just so stereotypical, it looks like an SNL skit. So
really, I feel like you do such a good job with coverage. I always like thought this, like, yeah, this part of the industry was like fun. It's genius. It's everything. But like, I trust you if you see some stuff out there that clearly should not get covered.
There's a lot of stuff that should not get covered.
Yeah. And then what about like beverage brands? Like does that kind of fall in line there too?
Well, we've got Can, you know, like the celebrity-backed weed soda that has done some of the most amazing breakthrough kinds of music videos and full-on production numbers and holiday ads and guerrilla marketing around the Super Bowl. I mean, they have a very good time. And they also have, like, so little marketing money. They have a tiny marketing budget, talking about punching above their weight class. Like, they do some, they call in all their favors and get their celebrities to show up. And, you know, they do things like, they have a really good time with their communications. But yeah, drinks, I think maybe, and Jones Soda, Mary Jones has done some very fun things as well. They put out a zine that was, has a lot of bud tenders involved. So yeah, drinks is a little sassier.
I love that. Interesting.
It's one of those things where there's an easier, I think, connection to, I mean, obviously alcohol, right? That's more acceptable. It's, I think, a natural kind of progression when we're trying to make the connection or get a consumer to consider cannabis over something else. But I completely agree. I mean, Can, when you look at all of their work, like they are, you can just tell they're having fun. It's just full on creative. Like that's a creative's kind of dream, just to go in and make that type of work time and time again.
Yeah, like the fun stuff, like override the whole process and let's just get this shit out there. Just have fun.
Yeah. But I think it's a good point you make, though, Luz, because I think there is a little bit of that push and pull with the industry. The industry must be taken seriously. It is a CPG. It is a brick and mortar. Like, it is a real business. And so I think that people struggle with that. Like, how can we be flip? We can't be flip when, you know, Washington is debating whether we're going to be able to get safe banking or not. We need to be serious, you know? So it's tough.
Totally tough. And at the same time, it's like fun marketing too. So yeah, no, it's really interesting to continue watching this space evolve. Specifically for you guys, Courtney, Embark is expanding very quickly. I understand you're expanding to 22 stores by the end of 2024. You were telling us before this that you guys actually opened up not even that long ago during the pandemic. So like, what's next? Are you just continuing to increase your footprint?
Yeah, we are. Look, opening up a brick and mortar retail store in the middle of a tourist town, which was South Lake Tahoe, at the beginning of the pandemic was truly probably one of the most wild ideas that has ever happened. And so it's, you know, we've been through a lot and the industry, even in that amount of time, has really changed. It's, I don't think you would meet one person in cannabis that would say that this is easy. Right. It is a brutal, brutal industry, but there's, you know, our team is incredible and we're at 9 stores right now. We'll have 2 more open by the end of this year and then 4 more by Q1, 22 by the end of next year. And we're just, going to continue on, keep opening up in these locations and in these communities. And yeah, I'm excited and you know, have more products like this come out that speak in to our customers and get this type of attention, hopefully.
Well, and I think, Courtney, a big point of this program is to drive your loyalty membership. And I think that's kind of at the heart of this as well, along with rallying your employees and your own teams. But to really, those loyalists, those fans are your community. They help you build community. So I think that's really a key part of that as well.
100%. And I mean, that is the core of this. You know, I think that in cannabis, we are in a position where we end up becoming really reactionary. You know, there's this race to the bottom where it's price slashing every single day. You know, I saw a billboard this was one of our competitors. They have a billboard that's 90% off. You know, I don't know how you compete with that, right? It's a very dangerous game to play. And it's also not a game that I, as a brand, you know, marketing person, I don't want to play that, right? I want to tell stories. I also want to drive revenue, but I want to do it in a way that has a distinct point of view and has legs to last for a really long time. And so, you know, our loyalty members, which we call our loyalty program, the Passport Club, we're putting all of our attention to them, right? And that's not a new strategy, right? But I think that a lot of the industry is focused on getting new consumers and stealing market share. And what we're trying to do is really just focus on the people that are most loyal to us, giving them the best experiences possible, whether that is through customer service, you know, a fast and sleek website, exclusive product drops, right? And really great everyday fair pricing. So that is the core of our marketing strategy, is just to give back to them and make them feel special so they have no reason to leave. You can't get Devil's Lettuce anywhere else. You know, you're not going to be able to get our next product release, which is happening on Friday. You're not going to be able to get that anywhere else. And we'll continue to do this and just continue to get back to, you know, to the community.
Yeah.
Sorry, Bex. I just have a quick comment. I just wanted to say that it's so refreshing to hear that you're rewarding your loyalists and your because you're so right. People try to get like new consumers. And even when you're a loyal consumer, sometimes like the rules change or just the rewards change. I mean, not that it's the same sector, but like we just saw that with Delta, you know, when they changed all their rules and their loyalists turned real quick on them just because they were just kind of, and it's so understandable, just offended that, you know, they gave all this loyalty to a brand that at the end of the day, they're trying to meet their business needs, as is everybody else, but at the expense of their consumers. So very refreshing to hear you guys are doing that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I was just going to say, Courtney, I think this calls for an Adweek team West Coast trip.
100%.
Yeah, I'm in. I think this is such a fascinating space for me, like looking in from the UK. So thank you so much for talking to us about it. And like kudos to you and your team for such a cool creative campaign. Keep them coming, please. And thank you so much, Terry, for hopping on. You're definitely one of our favorite guests to have on the pod.
Queen Terry.
I am thrilled to get Courtney into the Adweek fold. I'm so happy now. She's an FOA, friend of Adweek now.
We're loyal to them too.
This is, you know, any brand marketer that gets this opportunity is, I mean, it's awesome. It's truly awesome. It made my week. So I really appreciate the time. And yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's just great talking to people who love their job. And I can hear that from you. So thank you so much for your time, Courtney. And thanks, Terry. And thank you, Liz. And listeners.
No, it's Croptober. So you should have come now. It's harvest time.
No way. Is this like peak industry?
It is. Wow. It is. And that's also Devil's Lettuce. It's the freshest of the fresh, straight from the farm. So
hilarious. All right. We'll see you guys next October then.
Next week. All right. Get that Delta flight.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, part of the Adweek Podcast Network and Acast Creator Network. This podcast was produced by me, Al Manarino, executive produced by Chris Ahrens and John Heil, and edited by Lane McGivney at Boutwell Studios. You can listen and subscribe to all of Adweek's podcasts by visiting adweek.com/podcasts. Stay updated on all things Adweek Podcast Network by following us on Twitter at Adweek Podcast. And if you have a question or suggestion for the show, send us an email at podcast@adweek.com. Thanks for listening.
Hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hats because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing. They handle everything from brainstorming to polishing your content so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.